Welcome back to Raw Vegan Lens. I'm your host, Sherry Michelle. Let's go. Oh, it's been too long, guys. So sorry, but so much has happened. And I knew you deserved an update. And by the way, I am on TikTok. I'm also a little bit on Instagram, just a tiny bit again. And so you can find me other places. But I don't talk about the same things, really, that I do here. On TikTok, I am talking about my fast, though. It's hard to know what to start with, but I'll start with the biggest thing. I'm 7 days into a water fast, and it's going really well. The timing was interesting, is interesting. My nephew died on Sunday, and he was battling Ewing's sarcoma for the last almost 2 years. Such a cool kid. Such a funny, amazing human being. And I was, I think, 4 days into my water fast when he died. And so, of course, I went straight to their house. And only Nana was there, his grandma, and then everyone started to come. But Muslims do days of ceremonies, and you know, it's not just the funeral home, the mosque and the cemetery. And the last thing I was not there for, that was the azan. And they said that was okay. I had to get home for studying, and I had an exam to take and work. But it's been very difficult. And of course, in the fast, there's nothing I love more than Arabic food as far as food goes, and the house was just full of it. So every time a round of food happened, I would go to my niece's room and just hug his little chicky chipmunk stuffed animal and talk with her and just hang with her and look at pictures. And that worked, amazingly enough. I'm still kind of blown away because there are women, you know, everyone wants you to eat, eat, eat. So I would just duck out right away. And then even though, like, I mean, there are, you know, teenage girls are the same way. They're all wired to, like, eat, 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 you need to eat. And it's like, no, you don't understand. I can't go from 4 days of water into, like, chicken and rice, you know. I just can't. It's not good for me. So they understood. And my nephew and my niece have been really supportive, actually. I think they were really, I mean, mostly they were the only ones that knew. My blood sugar. Let's talk about something happy. My blood sugar was 401 when I started, and it is down to 121 today. Huge, huge relief. I'm still hungry a little bit, but today I've noticed, you know, not as much. And I don't know. I'm kind of feeling like, even though I came home yesterday and was away from all the food that I love. And by the way, the last night there was the hardest because I was by myself 15 feet from the fridge. I was sleeping on the couch in the living room. And knowing everyone was asleep, I just wanted to eat. I moved the chocolate out of the living room into the kitchen away from me. But yeah, I was really having a hard time. I had to give myself a real pep talk. Like, there's always going to be Arabic food. There's always going to be chocolate. None of this is going anywhere. Just calm down, just breathe. Like, you don't want to undo all the progress you've made. And then my raw buddy Erica texted me at the same time, and thank God, like, she kind of got me through it. And so yeah, that was the most challenging fasting night. I'd say the day of the funeral was the most challenging in all of that. Just while my Nana woke up not knowing who anyone was. We think she missed some meds in all of the, you know, chaos of losing someone so close. And so I stayed with her while everyone else went to the funeral home and then the mosque. And then she kind of came out of it. I mean, she was kind of, she was back to her old self as much as she can be. She, her memory's gone a lot, but she was, you know, she showered and got dressed and was giving me clothes out of her closet, bless her heart. And then she was putting on her shoes and her coat, and I'm like, I guess we're going to the mosque. So I took her to the mosque, and of course she was surrounded by women as soon as she got there. And I had scrambled to find shoes. Luckily, my former sister-in-law, I should just call her my sister, she wears the same size shoes, and we were both like, oh, no worries, there's plenty of shoes around, she's a shoeaholic. But they had gone on ahead, of course, early that morning, and thinking, we all thought I was staying home for the day with Nana, just like quick change of plans. And then I ended up not, and I needed shoes and a hijab. So Nana found me a hijab to wear, and so that I could take her inside the mosque. And then, because I'm not Muslim, but the only shoes I could find were like these kind of strappy Rockport sandals that were luckily closed-toed, but I couldn't wear socks with them, so I took my socks off. And when we got there, I realized I'd made a big mistake because everyone's in their socks. And I didn't want to be disrespectful, and they were like, oh no, it's okay. And but I just, everyone was in their socks. Now, a friend said that's because it's wintertime, we're all wearing socks. It would have been okay, but I didn't want to be disrespectful. I didn't want to embarrass Nana. I didn't want to draw attention. I just had to figure something out. And there were these two little gloves in the hallway that some little kid had lost. They were little kids' gloves. One was black and one was gray. And I thought, the last minute, like as they're bringing everyone into the main prayer room, I'm like, I gotta figure this out. It's better than bare feet. So I put them on as far as they would go, which was only halfway, and I thought, I'll just tuck my feet under my chair. And I mean, most people did not know who I was, and the people who knew me didn't recognize me right away because they'd never seen me in a hijab. My niece Lana was like, Sherry, she'd been there 45 minutes and been standing next to me, like she didn't know it was me. So that was kind of funny. And my niece Norm, Bara's sister, she had a good laugh about me wearing gloves on my feet. So I left those at the house because I thought my nephew Multazim had not seen them yet and or heard about the story, so I thought anything to give them a laugh right now. So there have been some laughs, but mostly a lot of crying and some really beautiful moments. And ironically, like, or not, I suppose it's by design, Gabe and I went to Hawaii in December. On Christmas Day, we flew to Hawaii for a dog sit, which was the best trip we've ever taken. We sat this beautiful dog named Lily. She was so awesome, so fun. She loved to go on adventures. So we actually took her on so many adventures, her back was a little sore, so we had to leave her home for a couple days, and then we just did things that we wouldn't have been able to take her to, like, you know, Asian temples and, you know, hiking Diamond Head. So, and the couple that we sat her for, just, I wish they lived here. They're so cool. They're actually from here. So we might do some swapsies in the future where we just trade places. Yeah, we had so much fun with them the day we got there and the day we left, or the day we started, actually. We did get there one day early just to make sure we were there on time. And we stayed at a hostel, the hostel that I've stayed at the last two times I went to Hawaii, and that was a little weird that I didn't expect to feel the way I felt there. I started feeling really anxious and sad and scared. And I realized, like, I felt like I was in the past. And I was worried for, like, myself, my past self, for what was coming, because I had been there in February of 2023 was when I left, and my niece Devin died in May of 2023. And so it was like it was happening all over again. Like, I was back in the past, and it was coming, and I was so worried for, like, my past self. It was so bizarre. But it passed. Like, your brain, I guess, like, recalibrates and is like, no, you're not in the past. This is a different trip. This is a new experience. And, you know, I thought I would heal there. I always say Hawaii is for healing, and many people say that. There's something about the energy there, just so beautiful, and the people and the ocean, and it's a magical place for me. And I've done a lot of healing there. I've done 8-day fasts there and healed from myasthenia gravis. And so I didn't, though. Gabe was with me. I didn't eat healthy. I was raw one day, January 1st, I was raw. But we just relaxed and had a good time, and other things healed. Our relationship healed. That was huge. Like, we're so much closer again. Like, we weren't, there was just something that was off. Like, there was something missing. And maybe it was because he hadn't experienced Hawaii. Maybe that was a big part of it. He loves it as much as I do now. And I know we'll go back together. It was such a healing time for us. And I was healing my grief too. Like, I came back and I said to Gabe, I feel happy. I feel content. I've leveled up. And Devin got to come with me. Like, it's not like I left her there. You know, there were some really cool magical things that happened. You know, sometimes I ask her to show me an animal. That's very unlikely for where I am. And she always comes through. You know, in the beginning it was peacocks, and then a moose, and an albino ferret, and she always delivers big time. So, in Hawaii this time, I asked her, show me a polar bear. And we were at Don Quixote. It's the one store outside of Japan. And there were little stuffed polar bears. But I felt like, I don't know if that's them. And Gabe agreed. He's like, maybe not. We'll just wait, you know. And the morning we came home, he took a picture. He was riding in the back seat. Our beautiful dog sitter, world-class dog sitter, picked us up at the airport at like 4 in the morning. And Gabe was sitting in the back seat, and he took a picture of Jebby's window drawings, her window art that she does with her nose in the back seat on the window. And then he showed it to me. He's like, well, there's your polar bear. It was clear as day. I'm not kidding. I wish I could show you a picture. There was a polar bear, and then I saw a little seal, like, on a beach with his sunglasses on. And that was just that's totally my sister and my niece, because I also asked my sister, put a pair of sunglasses on my path. That's exactly what I said. Put a great pair of sunglasses on my path, thinking I wanted to get a new pair of sunglasses because I hadn't brought mine. But my sister, being the smart ass that she's always been, she's so funny. She took it literally. She delivered it literally. We got to the top of Diamond Head, which is no small feat for me anyway. The view is absolutely worth it. And you feel really accomplished when you look down at where you started. But we started at noon, and it was hot, and we were, struggling that last little bit. And we're at the top, and this woman's sunglasses landed at my feet. No kidding. And I thought it was so funny. I told her that I'd asked my sister to put a great pair of sunglasses on my path. So we took a picture together, And then I let feathers go that I'd found on my walks and stuff with Lily. I let these feathers go for my dad and my sister and my niece up on Diamond Head. And my sister's feather kept flying back at me. And I thought that was really funny too. Like, you always got to be smart. Like, you always got to make me laugh. So that was cool. So, yeah, if you need healing, I highly recommend Hawaii. It's just what you need. It's always been for me anyway. So, 7 days of fasting, so much of it done around my favorite food. It would have been so easy just to surrender to it and just lose myself in Arabic food. But I didn't. And I felt like coming home, like, if I can fast through that, I can fast through anything. I can do raw vegan through anything. But interestingly enough, last night, I kind of felt like I was at a crossroads. Sometimes I think about my friend Vicky Sharon, and she does a fasting-focused lifestyle, the fasting-focused lifestyle. And she's on all the, you know, platforms, all social media, and she's a fasting coach. I did one or two sessions maybe with her, but I just got to be friends with her. I did a session for her dog, and her husband died young, and she's been doing like OMAD for quite some time, and she's just lost a ton of weight and regain health, and now she coaches people. And so sometimes I think, like, maybe I should just do that. Maybe that's healing enough. But then I think, but it's not as much healing as I can do with raw. But that's only if you're able to do raw, if you're able to stick to it. And I have not been able to stick to it. And I'm telling you, with all of this, my favorite foods around me the last few days, I could not make peace with never having Arabic food again. It's just, I said to myself, it's not realistic. It's not who you are. It's just a huge thing I had to admit to myself. And then I just started to dig deeper. Like, you're having to sit with your feelings when you're water fasting. There is no numbing yourself from anything. And everything has been so intense. And I just realized, like, I'm tired of feeling like I'm failing. It's been, what, 16, 18 years I've been trying to be raw vegan. I'm tired of feeling like I'm punishing myself for being a bad girl. And I realized that goes back to my childhood and my mentally ill mother shaming me about things all the time. She was so into shame. And I remember her shaming me so badly about ordering this big orange juice. We were on the way to this modeling school that I went to. And before I moved to Chicago to like model full time, when I was back in my, I was like 18, 19. And I think about that and it's just like, God, woman, like she projected so much of her own body issues onto me. From age 6, that was my first diet. I know I've told you guys this before, but there wasn't anything out of order with me at age 6. My body was fine, but I remember the first time she shamed me about it. We were looking at slides. We were doing a little family slideshow night, and there's a picture of me when I was 5, like just the year before. We were at a beach, and I was wearing this little ruffly yellow top that was just like a little half top. And she said, well, it's too bad you can't wear that anymore. And my dad was a really big guy. He was over 300 pounds for most of my life. maybe all my life. And I still think, like, she was afraid she was going to have fat kids. And so it started there, and just burned that diet mentality into my head. So even though I know raw is a lifestyle, a healing lifestyle, it's not a diet, it still feels like a diet to me. And I still feel like I'm being punished and shamed for being a bad girl. That's what it boils down to. Right or wrong, whatever, that is at the core of my struggles with it. And when you are in an Arabic family, their food is so filled with love. And, you know, Italian families are the same way. Many, many cultures show their love through food. And I don't like the deprivation. At the same time, I know that autoimmune diseases can only be healed with raw vegan and fasting. I've reversed myasthenia gravis 3 times now with fasting. Or 2 times, I should say. I'm doing it right now for the 3rd time. Because when I was in Hawaii, before we left, actually, I had another UTI. And this was the worst one I've had. It went on for way too long. I had a yeast infection too as a result. That went on way too long. So every time that my myasthenia gravis, the myasthenia gravis, it's not mine, it's just here for a visit and it's leaving again. Every time that's shown up, every time I've had a UTI in the last few years, the myasthenia gravis has come. That's what caused it the first time. It's like the infection was pushing my immune system over the edge. And so that's how it showed up in me, was with this autoimmune disease called myasthenia gravis. And I know that you can reverse it with raw and fasting, because I've done it. And the neurologist was kind of amazed by that, but it is what it is. And maybe she'll be able to help other people with that knowledge. But as I was saying, now I've forgotten what I was saying, but I know that raw is the way to heal that, raw and fasting. So I can't fast forever. Got to figure out a way to eat, you know, and keep that away. Keep it dormant. And raw vegan is the way. So I did think maybe fully raw Christina had an Arabic uncookbook. And so I looked for that, but I didn't see anything, which surprises me because she's Middle Eastern. So I just kept Googling and I did find someone. I think it's called Raw World. Maybe I can find it here. And it looks incredible. The Global Girl, not even close, Raw World. I guess I'm thinking of the Monarchs, but Raw Middle Eastern Recipes. So she actually has other books, and their books are really reasonable. Only $6.99 for Raw Middle Eastern, a week's worth of recipes. So they look pretty good. I mean, she's got falafel in there, so she must be making in the dehydrator, and I bet it's really good. So yeah, she's got a good tabbouleh recipe. So she also has a week's worth of raw desserts, a week's worth of raw Italian, a week's worth of fat-free dressings, a week's worth of raw dressings, and a week's worth of raw Mexican. So that is pretty cool. That gives me some hope. There was one dish, I think it was the very first, that they were like opening up. And my outlaws, my former in-laws, I call them my outlaws sometimes. And that was rice with peas and almonds And I think there's lamb or beef in there. And I just knew I had to get out of there because I wanted to eat the whole thing myself. And so I did. I went up to my niece's room. And then I just kept doing that each time they would do a round of food. I mean, his death has really just shaken their community. There were over 500 people at the cemetery. And 100 of us women were still at the mosque because they kind of detained us purposely so that his mom and his grandma would not see him being put in the ground, which is very sweet, but his mom felt tricked, of course. And his family, I'm so proud of them. Like, they're doing much better than I expected. They're, of course, so devastated. We're all just devastated. But my big fear was that this would kill his mom, and I don't think that's gonna happen. Now, I can see, like, I knew she's really strong, but it's just not right. He was 20 years old. He was the healthiest person in the family. He loved oranges so much from when he was little, that he turned orange at one point, and they had to, like, hey, dude, slow your roll with the oranges. His doctor, said, you've got to cut back some here. He used to run to the refrigerator and grab a cucumber, a mini cucumber, bite the ends off, spit them in the sink, and then just run away to play. And I always admired that about him. But the biggest thing I admired about him is that he never let anything get to him. I never saw him upset. I saw him a little scared once when we were wrestling and he thought he couldn't breathe when he was little. But he loved to wrestle. He loved to climb. Oh, he loved to climb everything. I called him my monkey boy. He just was a chill guy. And I so wanted to be that. Talk about a non-reactor. I always admired him for that, from when he was just a little guy. So, yeah. It's just, they're getting condolences from hundreds of people they don't even know. In fact, someone paid for the entire funeral, burial, everything. I've never heard of such a thing. I've never experienced anything like that. I've never, you know, it, like I said, it's a marathon with Muslims. They have days of processing and people visiting and prayer, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful the way the women come in and just take care of everything. Just silently, they know exactly what to do, they know the drill, and they just make it happen. It was really beautiful to witness that, and just all the love. So yeah, if I can fast through this, I feel like I could fast through a tsunami. I also had, before all of this happened, but after we got back from Hawaii, I had another round of tests and stuff for United, including the strength test. And you might remember that a couple years ago, 2022, I interviewed with United and didn't pass the strength test, and realized, like, oh, there's something real about this weakness. It's not in my head. And then that's when I started to go and try to figure out, like, what happened, like, when I was traveling up the coast and Canada and, you know, got so weak and had the UTI and everything, and all those weird night sweats on my chest. So that was the beginning of finding out that I had myasthenia gravis. So I failed the strength test again. So as an eye-opener, it was also a blessing, because going to work at the airport right now is not at all what I need. I have my plate full with this loss, with school, with work. I've been fasting while I'm doing DoorDash, you know. That's my work right now, that, and I do this envelope thing at home. And that's how I'm making ends meet while I'm going to school. DoorDash is such a blessing, and I wouldn't say a curse, but it just, I wish I didn't have to do it. But at the same time, I get my steps in. I wear my headphones, so I feel like I'm barely there. I'm listening to podcasts. Now I should be listening to my textbooks while I'm working, but it's a great escape in a weird way because it's very simple. Go get this, take it here, you know, that's it. And I do it at night, so there's hardly anybody out. I do it on the overnight, so from like 9 p.m. until, you know, 7 or 8 in the morning. And it's, yeah, it gives my brain kind of a rest from everything else. But I've got to get back to it here today, tonight. It's hard. The fumes from the aromas from the fast food are really challenging while I'm fasting, especially like from burger places like Steak and Shake. It's the smell of the fries, so I crack the passenger side window so the aroma goes away from me and not towards me. And most of my orders come from a grocery store where, you know, I kind of know people, they know me, they know I work the overnight doing DoorDash. But yeah, I'm just kind of in my own world with podcasts. My favorite podcasts, I guess I've gone through all of What Was That Like? That's my first one. The Secret Room is also really, really good. There's another one that's about like true survival stories. It's so, so good. The narrator's British and just an incredible voice, and the stories are fantastic. Julie Louis-Dreyfus has one called Wiser Than Me, where she's interviewing older icons, and those are incredible interviews, and she's fantastic. But then I go through all of those, so I've went back to Radiolab, which was my original favorite years and years ago when podcasts first started. Chevy needs to be covered up again. Here you go, baby. There you go. There you go. Mommy's got you. And so Radiolab's been on so long, and I didn't listen for a few years, so there's plenty of those to keep me occupied and fascinating. It's a lot of neuroscience, and so I really love it. So yeah, I feel like I'm barely there when I'm doing DoorDash. I'd rather be at home sleeping with Jebby and Gabe, but it is what it is. It's a way to make ends meet right now. I'm still doing a little bit of animal communication. I got a book from the library called The Secret Life of Plants because I saw a TikTok about this woman telepathically communicating with her plants, and I immediately felt so guilty because, like, I water the plants that I'm allowed to because I tend to love them to death and water them too much. I will say hi, you know, but I wasn't doing anything more than that, making sure they had enough light. And then I saw that TikTok, and it's like, she's communicating with them just like I do animal communication. It's exactly the same. So I did a session with them, and it was interesting. One of them wanted a bigger pot, and she totally needs it. I agree. I asked them about music. Yes, they wanted to listen to more music. So now I play music for them every day. This has been going on for 3 weeks. I play music for them every day. I say hi to them every day, touch their leaves, make sure they've got light and they're, you know, have enough water. Talk to them about, you know, we'll get bigger pots for some of you soon. And they've started to blossom. That peace lily has not had a blossom in years. I don't think since I moved in here. And that we're coming up on 11 years, 10 years here. We were together a year before we moved in together. So, and the new geranium that's in a pot with some ivy my neighbor gave us. He said, it's probably not going to make it, this geranium, but, you know, just pull it out if it doesn't. She's blossoming. We call her Jerry. So there's Lily, Jerry, Phil, he's a philodendron. Phil Jr., he's sprouted off of Phil Sr., so he's in his own hydroponic little cup. And we have a spider plant, Peter Parker, he's also hydroponic. I think he might need to be, he's might be ready to be potted now. And then we have Spike, who is the newest addition. He is a sprig of aloe vera plant, a leaf. So it's growing. I feel like I need to get them their own little table. So I'm communicating with my plants now. And I have the fish. I don't know if I told you guys about the fish, but a friend of mine, a really sweet, awesome friend I made at the airport, she has had her baby, but I went to her baby shower and they were going to name the baby Sebastian. They did name him Sebastian. So they had a whole under the sea theme, and it was really cute, really beautiful, very cool, cool shower. So nice. And she looked gorgeous. They had goldfish on every table as a centerpiece. And when I first saw that, I was like, oh no, animals are not decorations. But her sister really loves her and meant well. And I love this friend. And so I just tried to make peace with it. But when I was leaving, they were insisting that, oh, this is, they're going to make everybody take goldfish home. And I was like, no, 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 I've never been a fish person. And I felt so bad for the fish already. And I knew they probably weren't going to make it. But she insisted. And so I did. And I named him Hope and Faith. Faith died in a couple of days. Hope kept going. I felt like he's a he, even though his name is Hope. I felt like he needed, you know, a friend again. So I went to Petco and they were like 24 cents. Lily's like, I've got a quarter. After I told her the story, she's like, just take him. So brought him home. Let's see. That was Fortune. And Fortune, I felt like, was a girl though. But anyway, Fortune didn't make it either. So then we're in Hawaii and our world-class dog sitter, Ashley, texts me crying that Fortune didn't make it. She'd never experienced this. Like, I mean, she'd experienced it, but she said not since she was a little girl. So she was very upset and I felt bad for her. And I said, do whatever you think is right. And so she buried her. I'm sure the ground was frozen. The weather was really bad here while we were gone. She went to the pet store. She got a new everything for them and another fish that she felt like a connection with, she said. So she named this fish Lovey. And Lovey has totally bonded with Hope. I just can't believe it. Like, so I did some communication with them too, because Hope was not bonded with the other two fish. I never saw her really interacting with the other two fish. And in the communication, he said they were sick. So I guess he didn't want to get attached. Anyway, they love their new bowl. They love their new decorations, which are gorgeous, very tropical, pretty. They love their names. And they love each other, and they love being part of this family, and it was really cool. So I have to keep communicating with the fish and the plants. I never wanted to be a fish mom, I will admit. It never interested me, but now I'm attached to them. And they're very sweet, and it's so cool to see, like, how they're just best buddies. So I'm going to get them a little bigger tank soon. I'm thinking, like, Valentine's Day, that would be a nice present for them. And we're going to get Lily a bigger pot. So that's what's going on with that. Erica has expressed that she would like me to do some animal communication sessions. So I'm going to do that. Erica, if you're listening, I keep forgetting to tell you, there's no charge for that. Don't worry about it. I think it's more important for me just to keep doing it. it's definitely more important than the money. And the friend that she wants me to do the session for, at least one of them, is her friend who is terminally ill. So come on, I can't charge for that. I just kind of was in autopilot when she asked me how much I charge. So, sweetheart, don't worry about it. And Erica's been such a source of support for me, like unbelievable accountability buddy. We're so much more to each other than that now. She's my sister from another mister. So I think that about covers it. Jebby's doing great. My sweet little girl. She's 12 now. She turned 12 in December. She doesn't act like 12. I mean, she sleeps a lot, but she always has. But she can still rip around like a puppy. Her health is really good. Thank God. And you guys, I don't know where you are in your raw journey. If it's not for you and you're just here out of curiosity, or if you've been struggling with raw, or you're doing great with it, or you're wondering, like, just wondering what's going on my journey. I hope this has given you what you need, something you need. As far as fasting goes, I would recommend going and listening to Alan Goldhammer's talks. Dr. Alan Goldhammer, I know I've talked to you about him before. He runs True North Health Center with his wife since 1984, and they're in Santa Rosa, California. And they've worked with large corporations to help their employees get healthy, to bring down insurance costs for the company. They have worked with all kinds of people in all kinds of situations. And they have the best testimonials. Just incredible work they do there. And my favorite, I believe her name is Gail, the testimonials. And I know I've told you this story before too, but she was hit in the head at an outdoor event with a tent pole. The tent collapsed. Sorry, Gabe's doing dishes in the kitchen or emptying the dishwasher. A little bit of racket there. She got a dural tear in her brain and went through 14 years of headaches. I can't imagine what it'd be like to have 14 years of a headache. It was constant. And she tried all kinds of medications. Nothing worked. Nothing helped. And they finally said, like, look, we've done all we can do. And she was really concerned about longevity because she has that in her family. And she didn't want to be in her 90s still with this. And she was in her 50s, I think, at the time. Maybe her 40s. So she turned to True North Health Center as a last resort. And she fasted for, they usually put the women on 26 days. And the men on 40, but she said, if the men are doing 40, I'm doing 41. So she did do 41. And towards the end, she woke up one morning and had like a weird sensation, and she couldn't figure out what was going on. And then she realized she didn't have a headache. And I think she said it didn't even last a minute, but it was enough to give her hope. Like, something's happening. It's healing. And so she had to refeed for 6 months and do SOS, no salt, no oil, no sugar. And then she went back and did another 40 days, and she's been headache free. It's incredible that the inside of her brain healed. Like, you can heal just about anything. 9 times out of 10, I swear. And so the things that I've healed this fast already, I had dermatitis around my lips. I have developed like an allergic reaction, an allergy to Burt's Bees chapstick, of all things. I've worn it for years and now I can't. It causes dermatitis. I didn't know that's what it was when it first happened. So I got it cleared up with tea tree oil. And then went to use my chapstick again, and there it was again. Like, it just happened right away, and the skin's all dry, and it takes a while to heal it. Well, that cleared up within 3 days. And I had a rash also that cleared up, and that was pretty bad. I think I might be ready to divulge some very personal information about that, just because I feel like if there's someone out there listening who, a woman who has diabetes, you need to know something that nobody is talking about. I had no idea. I'd never heard of it. And my dad had diabetes my whole life, so I feel like I know it pretty well. I know a lot about it. I've read a lot about it. But I had never heard that women with diabetes can get fissures on the skin in their privates because of your urine being so high sugar. It's like is deteriorating already very delicate skin. And that was happening, and I was mortified. I was scared that I was just stuck with this condition. I mean, it's your skin splitting when you go to the bathroom, when you, you know, bend over sometimes. Of course, when you have sex, like, your skin splitting was so scary. And I knew, like, oh my God, what have you done? You have monkeyed around way too long with this. You have to straighten out your blood sugar. And so I did. And that and the UTI and the yeast infection, they were not going away. I would get it like almost cleared up and then it would just totally come back. And normally in the past, I was always able to heal a UTI right away with raw vegan or fasting. Same with a yeast infection, not a problem. Not this time. And I couldn't, because I wasn't having success, then I would just like go off it and I would just eat and be back at square one. And I did that over and over again. So this went on for like, I think over a month. It was probably more like 5 weeks. Thank God all that is healed. I'm fine. Thank God. I mean, I really feel like it's a miracle because that looked like such a scary situation to me. Like, I just didn't want to be saddled with that for the rest of my life. I mean, what does it do to your relationship? What does it do for your, like, quality of life? So, I'm telling you, even though it's embarrassing, you need to know. If you're a woman facing diabetes, you need to know that this can compromise your skin in very personal areas. I don't have any soreness in my joints, of course, now that I've been 7 days fasting. I think that disappeared pretty quickly. I don't have a ton of energy. Jebby wanted to walk all the way to the lake today. I mean, it's only 6 blocks, but you walk around down there too, and so it's an hour walk, and I realized about halfway there, I didn't have the energy for it. So we came back, and I'm not doing a lot of exercise right now. When I do DoorDash, I do get my steps in, and so it'll be good to get back to that. But the other thing with DoorDash that's been nice is that Gabe's parents have been falling. Well, his dad has like these strange weak spells where he can't even get out of bed, and then he'll come out of it slowly. But his mom tripped. She wears Crocs, and she tripped in the same place in those same shoes and hit her face, her eye, in the same place, and had to go to the ER to get stitches. And then a few days later, she had vertigo for the first time. So back to the ER. And so that was all 3 times in 1 week, right before my nephew died. So it works well that I can drop everything and go. And I'm glad. I'm really grateful for that flexibility with my work. So I'm just going to keep doing that. And, a year from now, I'll be done with this medical coding and billing training and can work from home doing that. Knock on wood. And so that's the plan. And of course, keep doing animal communication. I know, you know, in the back of my mind, I always think you could have just done animal communication full time this whole time. You could have just built it up and built it up and built it up. But again, emotionally, I just didn't have the bandwidth. I didn't have the strength. You know, my sister died in 2020. Her daughter, my niece, my best friend died in 2023. Now my nephew. These are people really, really close to me, really important to me. I feel like being fasting is definitely helping with the grief a lot. I gotta give it a lot of credit there. I think if I was eating my feelings, it would take me a lot longer and the grief would be a lot harder. I don't know. I'm pretty sure that's the case. As far as the myasthenia gravis goes, this is 3 UTIs that have triggered it. The last time I was tested, I tested negative. I had one symptom left, and that was my right eye kind of droops when I first wake up in the morning. It takes it like a little bit, maybe 30 seconds to kind of get with the program and open up right. But to me, that says, you know, I was able to get my strength back when I worked at the airport before. I can get my strength back again, and I can keep this from taking over my life. I'm absolutely positive and confident that I can do that. So I really have to be grateful that I know about raw vegan. I don't know, I have some thinking to do. I do. Because I don't want to feel like I'm depriving myself or punishing myself, or that I'm that little girl in there is feeling shamed into eating raw. And maybe that'll just come with time. Of course, I'll have to break this fast with raw food and just gently ease back into eating to, you know, go easy on my digestion. I'll do the prune test, John Rose's prune test, which is soaking prunes and eating them and then waiting to pass them to make sure your system's working right. And I'll move on to some easy fruits, probably juices, probably. So it's not like I'm going to go to my favorite Arabic restaurant and break my fast there. It's not. That would be insane. That would be harming myself to a great degree. Really unhealthy to break a fast incorrectly, and I've done it lots of times, but unfortunately this is a long fast. And actually, there's a guy named, if you go on TikTok, there's a guy named Daniel Stanton, heavy guy. He runs a dumpster business. Like when you clean out a house or something and you have a dumpster like parked, like one of those great big ones in your driveway. So he does that, and he has cancer, and he decided this was what he was going to do. He wasn't going to do Western treatment. He was going to, and not surgery either. He was going to just fast. So today is his 40th day. So go check him out, because it's really impressive, and he's experienced a lot of healing. A lot of different things, many that he hasn't even gotten into yet, shared with us. I'm hoping that he does, but for the sake of other people's healing. But he really inspired me to try a fast again. I'd done a fast like a week before for, I don't know, maybe a couple days, and then decided I was overcorrecting for my bad eating. And when I saw his TikToks, I was so inspired. I thought, no, I'm going to try it again. And so I did. And he's seen in his groin, he has lymph nodes that he sees are working again, like that area enlarged. And he knew then, like, okay, it's moving, it's clearing out. He has new hair growth on his bald spot. He's experienced like body temperature regulation. He doesn't sweat all the time now. He said he's always sweated his whole life going to the bowling alley, and he doesn't now. He's been just very transparent about his entire journey, and I think he's going to keep going longer than 40 days. So, super cool guy. He's following me now. Of course, I'm following him, and I shared with him, he's been just drinking water from his fridge. So I shared with him the water distiller that I use that I got on Amazon for like $100. And we're both doing the Celtic sea salt in our water too, so that we can get more out of our water and, yeah, get more energy. So I'm drinking about a gallon a day. Try to keep that up. Like I said, not exercising that much. Just trying to stay the course. Take it little by little. I really need to study. It's very, very hard for me to study right now, to concentrate with, you know, our family's loss. But I've got to do it. I've got to stay the course. And luckily, knock on wood, I'm passing. Yeah, I'm getting good grades on my quizzes and exams. But I'm not taking notes because it's just so dense. If you know anything about medical coding and billing, they cram so much into a year-long program that it's just mind-boggling. It's really confusing. Like, how do I take notes? Like, every fourth word in this book is bold, you know, is a term that you need to know. Like, it's too much. I feel like it's too much to take notes on. So I'm having to study in other ways, and I've been able to do open books so far, which has been really great, but I can't, it's not going to be that way forever. So I'm going to have to take a test without my book and stuff soon. So got to get ready for that. Hey, you could have done a lot of things with this time. Thanks for being here. It means a lot to me. I hope wherever you are in your journey, you're finding some strength from this. Something that lifts you up from listening to this. I really appreciate you being here. I apologize that my podcasts aren't more regular, like once a week, like most people. But I appreciate you for hanging in there, and I just wish you well. I wish you love, sending you love and light and encouragement and strength. And you can do this. If I can do this, you can do this for sure. I totally believe in you. Heal yourself. It's only the beginning. Take back control. Get in the driver's seat. Take back your power. You can do it. Love you guys.